Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. We are here for the final hour Monday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Encourage you, go download the podcast. Make sure you don't miss anything. We have been talking a lot about a huge different, I would say, collection of stories. The continued fallout in Afghanistan. Been trying to keep you updated as is going on right now with the situation in Louisiana. Over nearly 2 million without power all over that state as Ida works its way across the southeast. The mess that is going on with COVID. And that is where we are going to head right here to start the third hour of the program. By the way, 800-282-2882. Encourage you to download the podcast. Make sure you don't miss anything. You can search out my name, Clay. You can type in Buck. You'll be ready to roll. Our friend Alex Berenson has gotten banned by Twitter. And the data that he had been talking about is all been proven to be true. In fact, today, Israel, which is one of the most vaccinated countries in the world, hit a new high for COVID infections. And so here is why I think this is so significant going forward. I think social media companies are going to have to be held accountable for not just being platforms, but for making editorial decisions. And they have been labeling people like Alex Berenson's tweets as inaccurate, even though they have been proven to be scientifically accurate. And Buck, this is a fascinating angle. Alex is going to sue these companies now for defamation, arguing that they are claiming that he is telling lies, which goes directly to his ability to report. And you're going to end up, I think, with a real battle in the scientific community over what is and what is not allowed and permissible to be said about COVID. Because the wild thing here is, if you wait and just let the data eventually tell a story, what is everybody starting to write? The New York Times, CNN, The Daily Beast, all these left-wing outlets are now saying, hey, there's major issues coming because Israeli data is reflecting that the vaccines are not working as we were told they were going to. There's no other storyline when we end up with a new high for COVID infections, as is happening in Israel, which is one of the largest vaccinated countries in the world. And so Alex Berenson is, I think, important here in the context that he has been said to be lying, right? Twitter has been labeling his reports as inaccurate, and they're all actually ending up being accurate, which means I think Twitter may have some liability here.
Twitter's got a lot of money and a lot of lawyers, part of the problem. So that's not, they're not going to be overly worried about any one lawsuit like this. I think it's even more important for all of us just to know that this is what we are up against now. It used to be, there's been a whole transformation of the communication infrastructure in this country over the last, let's say, 15 years or so, give or take. And you could go back even 5 or 10 years when social media was really getting going in a meaningful way, right? And a lot of people here probably said, when do you first start using Facebook a lot for news? Not just to see, you know, a couple photos of your friends, but it started to become your feed. You know, for folks, maybe 10 years ago, you know, something like that for a lot of them. And there would be these initial reports, early reports of people saying, I think I'm shadow banned. I think that there's some games being played with the algorithms. And while these social media companies were getting larger and more powerful, while they're becoming really monetarily and influence wise, the most powerful media companies on earth. And I don't even think there's an argument to counter that, Clay. They would say, oh, no, we're a neutral platform. We're not doing any of this stuff that That's you think right. we're doing behind the scenes. And then you had a couple of stories. Hold on. Why is this conservative getting banned? Why is that conservative being suppressed in some way? And they would say, remember this, oh, it was a mistake. Somehow it was always conservatives that were getting hit by this, but it was a mistake. And what's happened in the, you know, as a result of, I think, their frenzy against Trump, because Trump used social media so effectively, he turned that tool against the apparatus of Democrat control. There was all of this pressure brought to bear on, and I mean it, at the very top of Google, the very top of Twitter and Facebook, you've got to do something. You can't allow this to happen again. So they just said, well, we used to do this with algorithms and shadow banning. Fine. Now we're just going to go all out and we will be a part of the apparatus of, let's be honest, mind control that's really going on here. I mean, controlling the national debate and conversation. And they're now open Democrat left institutions, partisans, and operating in that way. Now, that doesn't mean, obviously, you use Twitter, I use Twitter. It's not that we're all kicked off, because then they would force us to build the other platforms. Then, no, it's they control it where they have to, when they want to, and they reserve that right. And Alex is an interesting case study because on the data out of Israel, he was on solid ground the whole time. He's been proven correct. And they never apologize, Clay, because for them, it's not about being right. It's about everybody listening to what they tell them.
And this is where I think, and this is me, again, putting my lawyer hat on, Twitter has actually said why they banned him. They gave him all these different strikes, and he's talked about it on this program. And to me, what is so utterly interesting about it is if he can go back and prove that all of their checks, which led to his banning, are not in any way inaccuracies of reporting by him, then it seems to me that Twitter's entire method of policing content could blow up on itself. And what I'm talking about here in a big picture is there's a big difference between being a platform which allows everybody to say everything and editorializing. And what Twitter has been trying to pretend is that they don't editorialize, that is, they don't pick the stories and the issues that they blow up to turn into a big story. And look, this is also a flaw of the media, but you got a ton of people sitting around all day checking to see what's trending on Twitter as if it's representative of the biggest stories that go on in the country on a day-to-day basis. And it creates this entire feeding frenzy. And I want to play this from Fauci, if we could, because Fauci has used Twitter to get his message out. And he is in favor of all these ridiculous mandates. And I think what you're going to see is the collusion between Facebook and Fauci, and the collusion between Twitter and Fauci, and the collusion between Instagram and Fauci, using Fauci as a stand-in for the lockdown government issues. Listen to Cut 19 here as Fauci talks about how he is in favor of all these mandates occurring at the local level that the federal government doesn't have the authority to do themselves. This is about mind control, and they're using big tech to coalesce with default state action through local governments and through businesses.
I am very much in favor of mandating at the local level. I don't think we're going to see federal mandates except for certain agencies of the federal government. I mean, we've already seen that with the Veterans Administration. But now that we have the full approval, the full stamp of approval, at least for the Pfizer vaccine, we are definitely going to see mandating for colleges. If you want to attend in person at a college or a university or places of business that employs large numbers of people.
Places of business. This is why it would be so useful, so helpful to have some state or states that would come along and say, we're actually not going to allow you to fire people.
This is what you got into for people out there when you were talking with Kristi Noem, is you want people to be able to be protected in her state from being able to be
opt
fired.
Out as
this.
A matter of conscience. I would like to see, because otherwise, folks, it's just the rolling wave here of mandates that will wash over the entire country. And, you know, I have to check and see what the latest is down in Florida. I mean, DeSantis, he's been holding the line in so many ways in so many places in a 50-50 state, basically,
yes,
Democrat, Republican,
right,
which is a very different phenomenon than what you have in a heavily red state where you could actually push these things more and be the laboratory. I mean, use federalism to our advantage, be the laboratory for, you know, we can actually play offense in favor of liberty instead of what we're just going to see is everyone's going to start. You're going to have to start making decisions you don't want to make. You're going to suffer. They're going to tell your kid he can't go to the, you know, okay, it's easy to say, oh, don't get the shot. Well, you know, maybe you're on a D1 scholarship for football. And now if you don't get the shot, you can't. So now you're going to give up your education because the state you're going to allow the Democrat mandate to take that. I mean, this is the these are the kind of decisions people are going to have to make. And it's not going to change anytime soon. Remember, we're heading into the winter season, folks. We have vaccines declining in efficacy. And we have the winter season coming. They're already talking about boosters. It's not like we're going to get into October and they're going to start to lighten up about this stuff. No, they're going to go into even more of a panic mode. So we either establish some individual liberty protections against this, or you're all going to, it's all going to be New York City. And I know people say, oh, I just would never go to a restaurant or a movie theater or send my kids to school or anything if they lived in New York. How long are you going to last with that? You know, I mean, you start to actually.
And also, the question is, how much enforcement are you seeing in New York? Right? Are people actually checking this?
It's about 50-50 in restaurants.
When you go out to a restaurant,
it's about 50-50. Like, they will check for. But now, I do know, I've heard rumors. I don't know, a little bit here, a little bit there. I don't know who. I don't know where. But I do know there are people that maybe have fakes.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Who are getting away with the fake thing very easily. So,
but only about half of restaurants in your experience or bars are checking to see whether or not you have a vaccine before they let you
total
in.
Total coin flip. But yeah. Some of them come to you right at the door. Say show. They want to see your ID and they want to see your vaccine passport. And if you don't have it, they say, I'm sorry, you cannot dine here. That's where we are. And by the way, Clay, that number is only going to go up because the actual enforcement doesn't start by the city of New York until I think middle of September. It's right. About 2 weeks out. Some places have gotten ahead of it. I mean, of course, like the coffee shop on the corner of my block, they have a little book section. I'm not even kidding. The books are White Fragility.
Oh, of course.
Michelle Obama's biography. Yeah. But I mean, just like the liberal canon all together there. And they still have a mask mandate and a vaccine mandate, even though it's not required by the city. So this is what you have in certain places. But I'm telling everybody right now, I know the mandate mentality, and they're coming. Look at Fauci. He says local level, they're coming for everybody. But we got a lot of people that want to weigh in on this one too. So why don't we get to some of their thoughts? Yeah. Sound like a plan?
Yeah. Sounds like a plan. Let's dive into it. But first, what do you got to tell us about?
Paul in Pennsylvania uses this time of year to get exercise on his bike. He rides a bicycle 6 days a week, running errands around town, the post office, grocery store, library, laundry. He gets in about 5 miles in a day. Now, when his knee started aching, he needed a solution to deal with the pain. That's when he tried Relief Factor and found it to be a great solution to help deal with the pain. There's not a day that goes by without hearing from someone in this audience who's found pain relief from our sponsor, Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product that addresses joint, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain, Clay. And it was created by doctors and based on scientific research. It helps your body reduce pain and inflammation associated with aging, exercise, and everyday living. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% go on to order more. Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Welcome back to Clay, Travis, and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck here with Clay. I'm in NYC. He's in Nashville. And we are bringing you up to speed on all the latest. Jen Psaki, Psaki Bomb, at the White House right now talking about the Afghanistan deadline. If she says anything that's not just straight out of the DNC talking points playbook, we will certainly bring you up to speed on that one. And I thought this was really interesting. Oh, we will get to calls. By the way, we got a lot of lines lit here, and the number is 800-282-2882. So the Justice Department has hired the first ever chief diversity officer under this administration, and we should all know that you're going to see a lot more of this. Wokeness is now a thing that is everywhere. It is in corporations. It is in media. It is in the government apparatus itself. So you have a chief diversity officer who will join the Deputy Assistant Attorney General of Human Resources to, quote, lead and coordinate the department's diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility in the federal branch. Clay, I think The Hunt for Red October is probably the best standalone movie of the entire Jack Ryan, Tom Clancy.
I like Patriot Games better.
Oh, my gosh. Blasphemy. Well, that's all right. All right. Well, we could settle that one another time. I like that you had it ready, though.
I think Patriot games is wildly entertaining, but I would actually go
Clear and Present Danger over Patriot games. So we got a real fight on our hands here. But here's what I want to say about the Hunt for Red October. I'd put Patriot games at number three, to be fair. Whatever the Ben Affleck one, the Sum of All Fears.
Definitely got worse.
Not quite Geely level bomb, but it was pretty bad. So in the Hunt for Red October, remember Sean Connery has to kill the guy. He kills a guy early on. He kind of hits him in the neck or whatever. And that's the political officer. But this was a real thing in the Soviet Union. They embedded political commissars, right? The individuals who were part of the apparatus of state control they were like the commie hall monitors in every government agency, every office of every government agency, every military unit, even frontline military units, to make sure that everyone only mouthed the allowed and preferred slogans. Clay, this diversity and inclusion stuff, this is the left-wing commissars infiltrating all over society, including now the Department of Justice.
And you know how they're taking over is because anybody who questions whether jobs like these should exist is racist and then ends up losing their job, right? Like this whole diversity and inclusion nonsense. First of all, for anybody out there who wants to question the legitimacy of America, how many, you're a big military historian too, Buck. I am as well. How many militaries do you think there have ever been where moms handed their babies to members of the military in an effort to have those military members save the babies, which is what we've been seeing happen at Kabul airport on a regular basis? All these different Marines holding babies, Afghan refugee babies, trying to get them onto planes. You have the famous, probably going to win a Pulitzer Prize, of the Marine reaching over down over the wall with all of the razor wire on top of the wall to take a baby and pull it back over. Those are images that are virtually impossible for people who want to argue that America is a horrible, fundamentally racist, awful place. Because can you think how often would that have even happened in military history that soldiers have been trusted like that by foreign nationals?
It happens with the American military. I mean, you go
That's right.
You know, we go in and we will protect our soldiers, our GIs, World War II. Children were safe with them. Women were safe with them. That's
it almost never has happened historically.
People don't even talk about what the Red Army, what the Soviets did in World War II, because that's a whole other conversation when they took over some of the German areas. But I was actually reading With the Old Breed over the weekend, Clay. We should talk about that. I almost finished it. What a fantastic book, speaking of military history. But we'll come back and get into that maybe in a few.
Yeah, and in the meantime, everybody should have the right to express themselves, and that includes what you write and post online. Sadly, big tech has instead opted for silencing tactics and censorship. To fight back against big tech's control of the internet, I use ExpressVPN. Here's why. When you use ExpressVPN, the app on your phone and computer, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That provides you online privacy and protection and makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. That is why you need to be signing up right now for ExpressVPN, and that's why it's rated number one by CNET, because it's so easy to use. One click to protect all your devices. Right now, you can revoke Big Tech's right to your data by securing your internet with the VPN we trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck. That's expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck to get 3 extra months free. expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck right now. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, finishing off the Monday edition of the program. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Encourage you to go check out the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you may be interested in making sure that you are able to hear every single minute of the show. And everybody's busy, can go download, type in Clay or Buck. We talked some over the Friday show about the fact that Buck Sexton had never been to a college football game. And I want to tell you, by the way, I've got an incredible offer for everybody out there. If you go to FanDuel.com/Clay right now, that's FanDuel.com/Clay, you can bet $5 on the winner of this Georgia-Clemson game. I don't even know if Buck has a side that he prefers, but it doesn't matter. If he and I both bet $5, find a buddy, go to fanduel.com/clay, $5 bet, you get back $150 if you pick the right side. So you find a buddy, you bet 10, you're guaranteed to get back 150. All you have to do is go to fanduel.com/clay and pick the winner of Georgia Clemson. Do you have a favorite side? Do you think you could put Clemson in the right state?
I am very confident in Georgia's ability to be victorious in this matchup.
Do you know where Clemson is?
Yeah, it's one of the Carolinas.
It is in one of the Carolinas.
There we go. South Carolina. Yeah, I knew that.
There you go.
Totally.
There you go. You got that. Clemson, by the way, beautiful place. And that's the biggest game of the weekend. I'm going to be there. You'll be able to see me on the Big Fox Network and on Fox News Saturday. We're doing this tour all over the big games of the South. We'll be in Knoxville on Thursday. And so I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of it. And you're going to come. You're going to come to one of the games.
Yeah, Clay has very kindly offered to be my my expert tour guide for my first college football game at, I think, right, we haven't solidified it yet, but it's looking like it'll be Ole Miss, Alabama, right?
That's Ole Miss at Alabama, which would be Lane Kiffin going back to Alabama.
If this happens, we need as many folks from the Clay and Buck audience as possible to show up so that I'll actually have friends that I could talk to about politics at the game because I don't know that much
about
football.
Massive. I would bet that there are few places in America where you could put 100,000 people in a stadium and have a higher listenership for a sporting event than at Alabama for us, for instance. Like, it'll be absolutely gargantuan.
I know. I'm excited. So I'm going to get, I'll get
and
to
see. And you went to a, to the golf tournament this weekend, which ended up being wildly entertaining.
The BMW championships, outside of Baltimore. I was invited by some friends of mine and they said, you really got to come down. I'd never been to a professional. So just so everyone understands, I grew up going to Knicks games and Giants games. Those were the two things. So Giants football, I've seen plenty of. I've actually went to some Jets games too.
And you went back in the day when the Knicks were good.
I had a family. Yeah, back in the day when the Knicks were a top two or three contender in the East for a number of years, and even made it to the finals against the Houston Rockets. Remember that game with the OJ Carr was driving? OJ Simpson was driving the white Bronco, and they actually broke away. From
what game it was, the finals. 94, it was the finals between the Knicks
game six,
and the,
game six, and they break
Knicks
away
the
from
Rockets.
The NBA finals to show you OJ and the white Bronco going like 30 miles an hour down the highway. But anyway, so I used to watch those things, Clay. I've never been to professional golf. And I'll say this, I know a lot of people listening love golf. I think I would love golf too. In fact, I'm so certain based on how much my dad loves golf that I would love it, that I avoid it. Because I feel like if I start playing, it's going to consume
suck up your time.
So much of my life and my time, and I am not yet done trying to save America. So I can't get into the golf. But one thing I wish I had known is it is hotter than Hades when you go to some of these tournaments and you're just out there standing.
You dressed like you were going to a business event.
I mean, I wore a polo short sleeve shirt, but I did wear khaki pants, and everybody. The players wear pants, to be fair, which is, I think, kind of
interesting. Well, that's obligatory. They're required to wear pants. Yeah.
But everybody was wearing shorts.
Are you an anti-shorts guy?
I'm not anti-shorts.
I'm not anti-shorts.
I feel like there's a time and a place, you know, the beach, the pool. There are sports, active events, you know, shorts.
I wear shorts everywhere that I can.
I will tell you, there was a story when I worked at the intelligence division, the NYPD. Now, I didn't know this firsthand, but they told me that there was a senior guy there, that they were bringing in a civilian contractor to do something sort of similar to what I was doing. And he just showed up at one police plaza to drop off paperwork. He wasn't meeting with anybody. Walked in, but he walked through the hallways of like where the big guys were for the NYPD. And one of the basically the guy in charge of the intel division saw him and was like, "Pull his offer." Did not like that he showed up in shorts. So some people they get very they think shorts for business meetings of any kind unacceptable. Clay Travis, just so you all know, does the biggest radio show in America, and not just shorts, but flip-flops as well. So he is clearly team shorts.
I am ultimate comfort guy. T-shirt, shorts, flip-flops. I mean, my thing would be, if you don't have to wear pants or shoes, Why would you wear pants or shoes? Now, if my job, like when I practiced law, this is actually ridiculous.
You practiced law in the Caribbean. You must have been wearing a Hawaiian shirt and working on your tan.
This is going to be tied into this. You were talking about showing up. So I would drive. I had a Jeep Wrangler. I would drive my Jeep Wrangler to the law office in the Caribbean, and I would wear khaki pants and like a button down, right? You have a jacket in your office in case you have to go to court, you know, like a suit and tie if you have to put it on, whatever. But you wear khaki pants, you can put on a jacket and a tie easily. And I would drive my Jeep in flip-flops. And so I would leave my shoes in the office underneath the desk, and I would walk into the office in flip-flops.
Now, I need to know something, Clay, and we're going to go deep into the archives on this one. When Clay Travis, Caribbean lawyer, was in effect, was there a puka shell necklace ever around your neck, and did you have frosted tips? Honest, you're under oath, sir.
No, I did have a so the necklace, the shell necklace, the trend had already died. I had a shell necklace in college and also in high school, but that trend was dead.
I've
never dyed my hair.
I love it.
Never dyed my hair at all. But I got one of the partners at the firm said, "Hey, you can't show up in flip-flops at the law firm," and I had to start wearing shoes in because she thought, and I was just coming in, like parking underneath and coming in the back door to come into my office, you know, early in the morning. Not, I mean, you know, that was like I was there at 4 a.m. or anything, but, you know, it was before, like, I was getting there before, you know, lawyer hours. I was getting there before 9, you know. So I had to start wearing shoes. So that happened to me, but I wore pants for the law firm.
Yeah, that's, you know, shorts. Then you get into the whole, are we talking like khaki shorts that are fitted? Are we talking cargo shorts, which people get really animated about how they think cargo shorts are a 90s fashion trend as well that should have died back in the 90s. However, those pockets come in handy sometimes. I mean, there's a lot of cargo room in the cargo shorts when you think about it. So I think that
Do you work out in the gym in pants? Like,
come on. What kind of question is that?
I mean, I thought
that?
Maybe like track pants or something. There are some people who are really, really anti-shorts.
No,
I got a buddy.
Of course I wear
shorts.
I've
hardly ever seen him in shorts.
If you're going to run on the treadmill, and no one runs on the treadmill really in pants. That's crazy. Although, occasionally you'll see people wearing sweats, but they're doing that sometimes purposefully, right? Like Rocky style
to get more of an exercise impact.
So, you know what? We should actually like take real calls from real folks about important things going on across America. But I'm wondering if we're going to go in the archives, Clay, with the, if there is a puka shell necklace photo with Clay.
You've seen my high school senior class photo before, right?
No.
Have you ever seen that?
No. No.
Oh, I mean, it is one of the greatest senior class photos.
ClayandBuck.com is, I think, where we have to put this high school photo of Clay.
We need to put Allie on research. It's on the internet for sure.
We need to put all of you on the amazing company that is known as MyPillow, because you're going to be sleeping better once you get this stuff. Once you get the pillows, the Giza Dream sheets, the My Slippers. I was just talking to some people over the weekend who just bought the My Slippers. Actually, the people invited me to the golf tournament, Clay.
Oh,
the
yeah.
husband and wife
They're
that
fantastic.
Brought me down. They had the My Slippers. They're like, they're the best slippers I've ever had.
My wife wears those things everywhere.
And they said, well, we use promo code Clay and Buck. And I said, thank you. And that was very exciting. Right now, Mike is offering the sale of the year on the Giza Dream Sheets. That's right. The Giza Dream Sheets. I've got them on my bed right now. They're made from the world's best cotton, ultra soft and breathable clay, yet extremely durable and with a luxurious finish.
They are pretty incredible. I mean, I was talking about the fact that I was out in Vegas recently for that poker tournament. And when I was staying in the hotel, you know, I was in the Aria, which is a very nice hotel. The sheets were nowhere near as nice as the Giza Dream sheets, which I have not only on our bedroom, my wife and I's, but also on all three of my boys' beds. They love them as well. And right now you can love them too. And for a limited time, you can get 50% off with the promo code Clay and Buck on your Giza Dream Sheets. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. You can try them out. All you have to do, though, is go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials to get the Giza Dream Sheets as low as $49.99 with the code Clay and Buck, or you can call 800-792-3269.
Closing up the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show for today. If you missed any part of it, please, please go to our podcast, the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show. Also, every morning I do a Buck Sexton show, which is 30 minutes long. Just a quick rundown of news of the day. You can listen to these podcasts on the iHeart app, wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember to go check out clayandbuck.com, the website. So that's for that. Tomorrow we have President Trump, former President Donald J. Trump, joining us at 2:05 Eastern Time on the day of the official military withdrawal, according to the Biden administration, from Afghanistan. So it's going to be a big day for news. We're going to want to hear from President Trump on that one. We're looking forward to talking to him. We had a great conversation with him the first time around here on the show, but please be sure to join us for that one. And we promised that we would get to some calls here on the show, and so we shall do so. And let's take Mark in Florida. Speaking of what's going on in Afghanistan, Mark, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I just wanted to give you guys some good news and an update about the equipment that was left in Afghanistan.
Go for it.
Okay, the equipment that was left there is what we call boneyard, okay? And boneyard is equipment that we have already taken a lot of the equipment out to repair mainline equipment. Point number two is all the classified equipment that were in that equipment has been removed.
Yeah, so that's, Mark, that's what I was suggesting to that caller, that my understanding is, you know, even with an Afghan ally, so to speak, we're not giving them all the goods.
No, absolutely not. Now, the last point I wanted to make is not very kind. I'm not going to, you know, be rude to people, but there is no high schools in Afghanistan, no technical training centers, okay? The people that we worked with over there, okay, we didn't let them get close to a fuel truck, aerospace ground. Those guys couldn't even run a generator. I mean, we were barely able to get them.
So you think that they're not going to be able to use the equipment that we left behind, the high-tech stuff at least?
No, the high-tech stuff, no. But the low-tech stuff they might can use to mess with their neighbors or doing trouble.
Yeah, right.
But the American people have no worries. That's why you haven't seen, if those guys had been able to use any one of those pieces of equipment, they would have done it for a photo op.
Mark, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. As a retired Air Force tech and bringing some real insight into this, I just say, Clay, what he's saying is true. I mean, the Afghan literacy rate overall in the whole country is in the 30s.
Yeah.
So a solid majority of the country cannot read in any language, which I just bring up because when you're talking about things like training to maintain a Black Hawk helicopter, you know, even if you have the manuals, the classroom instruction, those things, very hard to do when you can't read. That was always a big problem with the Afghan National Security Forces. How do you keep a payroll of soldiers and people in the police force, etc., if you can't actually read? But the ISI, the Pakistani Intelligence Service, I can assure you,
have people who can figure that out.
Yeah, they have people that will be able to get all these Blackhawks up in the air and running for the Taliban, and they're going to be working very closely with them. Chris in Maine, what do you got for us?
Hey, Clay Buck, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Excellent.
Good. Thanks for having us. Just a comment on the vaccine mandate coming for schools. Don't know how familiar you are currently with the CDC guideline that put out that all EMS and nurse providers, hospital providers in Maine now have to be vaccinated as October 1st. My wife and myself are both affected by this. We're actually both leaving our jobs. She's going to be travel nursing, and we're homeschooling at this point on because we don't take a stand now. They're going to be coming for our kid next.
I think there are a lot of people making the decision to homeschool, Buck, and I think there are a lot of people making the decision to go private school. If you have the resources to be able to afford it, I think that the popularity of private schools is skyrocketing in many communities all over the country.
Chris, God bless, man, and appreciate you sharing your principles and you're willing to stand up for your beliefs on this. I just say, Clay, I'm going to want to dive into this more tomorrow, but from the Associated Press, a breaking news story that I think ties into this, the Education Department, Biden's DOE, has opened civil rights investigations against five Republican-led states that bar mask mandates in schools. Guess what state is getting harassed now by the Education Department, Clay?
I would bet Florida, Texas, Tennessee,
right in the list here. This is what I've been saying. They're going to come after you, even in schools. You know, this is why governors have to steel their spines on this one and can't sell out to corporate interests because they're coming for everybody.
And not only that, this is also where we need judges to look at data. What's so frustrating to you and me and many of our listeners, Buck, is masks don't work. They particularly do not work in schools. The data and the science on this is transparent and clear. So when you are arguing that kids need to wear masks in schools, which is what has become the big battleground, you are arguing in favor of something that there is no scientific basis for. That is monumentally wrong. We need some courts who are going to stand up against this governmental overreach and fire back in a big way.
You know, another thing we got to get into, Clay, maybe tomorrow we'll have some time for this one, the California recall election. You know, you and I were talking about Larry Elder in the commercial break there for a second. Larry's a great guy, really.
We need to get Larry on.
That's a good idea. Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a radio host in his own right, just really widely liked and respected in conservative media, and he's making a real run of it so far.
September, it's going to be tight when they're coming after him like they are.
Tuesday, September 14th is when the actual California gubernatorial recall election occurs. So we're only a couple weeks out. It would be so sweet. I'm going to tell you, Cuomo going down was maybe
enjoyable.
Okay. Maybe that was my favorite. But Gavin Newsom getting recalled would be a close second for justice served cold, so to speak, in the COVID era.
And it would set off a panic in the Democrat Party if they were to lose in California like this.
And are you ready? You got to make sure you get enough sleep tonight, Clay, enough rest for our Trump-a-thon tomorrow. We're going to let the man himself, Donald Trump, we're going to let him do his thing here.
2:05 Eastern, he will be in, our only guest right now for tomorrow. It should be a lot of fun.
I'm always excited to talk to him. It's always insightful. And we need his voice back in the mix here more than ever, given what's going on. Clay and I will be with you on that tomorrow. And Donald J. Trump.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.